You're listening to Inspiration Sounds, the weekly radio show and podcast that dramatizes the stories and tales, some short, some long, from author Sri Chin Moy. I'm Budsamudra Knox, and this is episode 11. When I think of Asia, when I think of India, home to some of the truly great spiritual teachers the world has seen, I see a vast and varied landscape. Dry deserts stretch on for miles and miles where no rain will fall and no flowers will grow. Twisted forests of intense green are cut by the indomitable rivers that sweep down to the ocean's great. I see jagged mountains vaulting the sky, passing beyond the clouds, almost touching the very heights we hold sacred. Yet, for the people of these amazing surroundings, their love of the beautiful and the sublime has developed in a different direction to that of the West. They look within and not without. To them, a mountaintop is no place for a hotel, but a place of pilgrimage, where one and all can commune with the intimate nature of their soul. Which is why I love stories from this part of the world. For these are a people who are born dreamers of a more fulfilling life and whose lineage can be traced back to a time when they say the gods walked the earth. And Sri Chin Moy, who was a native of Bengal, India, writes stories that carry the ancient truths and wisdom of that past into the light of today. And speaking of today, I'm glad that you could all join me, and I hope you enjoyed the rest of the show. These are the stories from the heart of the world. Thanks for listening. The Wish-Fulfilling Tree, written by Sri Chin Moy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. A young aspirant was sitting at the foot of a tree in the summer heat. Fortunately or unfortunately, the tree he happened to be sitting under was the Kalpataru tree, the tree that fulfills all desires. But he did not know this. After a while, the heat became scorching. "How I wish somebody would come and fan me!" Right away, a young boy came and started fanning him. First, he was very surprised. Then he began to think that whatever he wished for would be granted. "This is a young boy. I don't want him. Let me have a beautiful girl." Immediately, a beautiful girl came and started fanning him. After a while, he said, "Now I would like to have food here. I am very hungry." The young girl went and fetched food for him. He ate his fill and then said, "Oh, how beautiful this place is. But I don't see any animals here. I'm in a forest, but how is it that there are no animals? A forest should always be alive with animals. How I wish to see at least one tiger in front of me." In no time, a tiger appeared only to devour him. So, as George Bernard Shaw said, there are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire, the other is to get it. In this story, the young aspirant got it. Who is the Highest? Written by Sri Chin Moy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. Once there was a very pious Brahmin who was utterly devoted to his family deity. He worshipped this deity every day, sitting cross-legged in front of the shrine in his home. One day, during his meditation, he observed that the prasad, or food offered to the deity, which is customarily eaten by the devotee after worship, was snatched away by a mouse and eaten in front of his very eyes. The Brahmin was astonished to see this, and concluded that the mouse was more powerful than the deity. Otherwise, how could it dare to eat the offering? So he grabbed hold of the mouse and tying it with a string to the place of worship, decided to worship this creature instead of the deity. He removed the picture of the deity from the shrine and started worshipping the mouse. One day, his cat, jealous of the attention the mouse was receiving, pounced upon the tiny creature. The two had a terrible fight, but of course the poor mouse was killed in the battle. Now it was quite clear to the Brahmin that the cat was more powerful than the mouse, so he started worshipping the cat whom he had previously neglected. This continued for some time, until one day the Brahmin's dog entered the room of worship. Seeing the attention the cat was getting from his master, the dog became furiously jealous and violently attacked the cat. The unhappy cat was bitten and scratched all over. When the Brahmin considered the situation, it became quite clear to him that the dog was more powerful than the cat. So he removed the cat from the place of worship and placed the dog there instead. He now began to worship the dog, who was tied with a rope to the shrine. The animal's continual barking, however, was a source of great irritation to the Brahmin's wife. One day, in utter exasperation, she threw a stick at the dog. It landed on his head with a thump. The poor dog was in great pain and cried piteously over his wound. The Brahmin, hearing the whimpering of the poor dog, came into the room and, seeing what had happened, concluded that it must be due to the superior power of his wife. So he decided to let the dog go and to worship his wife. "At long last, I realize that you are the most powerful. Only you can be the object of my adoration," said the Brahmin. The wife was thunderstruck at these remarks, to say nothing of being puzzled and embarrassed. How could she be the subject of his adoration? She thought, since all her life she had been made to feel like a servant, constantly at his beck and call. She finally consented, however, since she had no alternative. Now, the Brahmin's wife had become his object of adoration and worship. He addressed her with words of devotion and praised her divine qualities. So devoted was he that he had the impulse to worship her even when she was asleep. He would awaken her and make her take her place at the shrine where he could adore her. Or if she were in the shower, he would call her to come out. No matter what she was doing, she would have to stop and come to the shrine to be worshipped. Finally, the Brahmin's wife became so fed up with this farce that she told him the whole thing was nonsense. At this, he became furious. "Nonsense! How dare you criticize my wisdom?" And the poor frightened woman began weeping bitter tears. Now, seeing his own power, it became very clear to the Brahmin that he was the strongest of all. So he started worshipping himself, saying, "I am God. I am the greatest. I am everything." But it did not take him much time to realize that he was merely a prey to his desires. It was his desires that were compelling him to action, either good or bad. So since his habit was to worship the most powerful force, he started worshipping his desires. But he quickly gave this up, for he saw immediately that his desires had no strength of their own. It was his senses that compelled the desires to possess and be possessed. Then the Brahmin started worshipping the five senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. He was now pondering deeply on these subtle things which he was worshipping. After much thought, he concluded that it was the mind which was responsible for the functioning of the senses. So, he began worshipping his mind, and felt proud that he had progressed so far from the ignorant animals he had worshipped only a few months before. But he found that his mind was far from satisfaction, and even farther from perfection. So he catered into his heart. The heart, in spite of having peace and joy and harmony, was still lacking in absolute fulfillment. He was yearning for the supreme power. He concluded that the heart was not enough, so he entered into his soul. There, in union with his own soul, he got the first glimpse of his divine fulfillment. He plunged deep into the spiritual life. But the individual soul, he found, is not all-pervading or all-fulfilling. He aspired for the highest. He went even deeper. Deep within, he discovered the Supreme Self. Here, at the end of his journey, the Brahman saw that the Supreme Self is the most powerful. The Supreme Self, which has neither beginning nor end, is all-pervading and all-fulfilling. The Supreme Self, which is both creator and creation, is the highest. Lord Krishna Meets Radha. Written by Sri Chinmoy. Dramatized by Budhsamudra Knox. When Krishna was a little boy of 4 or 5, his father, Nanda, took him to the field where the cattle were grazing. Krishna wanted to spring a surprise on his father, so he created a severe thunderstorm. It began to rain heavily and the trees were tossing wildly. Although Krishna was responsible for the storm, he pretended that he knew nothing. He started crying and screaming, and he clung to his father for protection. Nanda was trying desperately to protect his child and also the cattle. He found that he could not manage to do the two things simultaneously, and so he was in a terrible predicament. He had to save his dearest child, and again, he had to save the cattle. Nanda could see no way to bring both the cattle and the child home safely. All of a sudden, a most beautiful woman appeared. Nanda was relieved to see this unknown woman who had come at such a crucial moment. "Would you kindly take care of my child? I must take the cattle home now. Then I will be back. I am sure that you'll be able to protect my son." "Do not worry. I will definitely take good care of your child," the woman assured Nanda. Nanda departed for home with the frightened cattle. When Krishna and the woman were alone together, Krishna did something extraordinary. He created a most enchanting scene and took the form of a youth. This youth was dark-skinned. He wore an orange cloth, and on his forehead there was a peacock feather. In his hands, he held a flute, which he was playing so hauntingly. Krishna looked at the woman and asked her, "Do you remember this incident when we were in heaven?" The unknown woman was Radha, who was Krishna's dearest beloved.
"I do remember this incident. It is very vivid to me."
Krishna was showing Radha a scene from their life together in heaven before they took incarnation on earth. He wanted to remind Radha of their eternal oneness. The time was fast approaching for Krishna's father to come and take his son home. Krishna stopped the performance in heaven and became a little child again. He started crying pitifully for his father to come and claim him. After some time, Nanda had still not appeared, and Radha became very worried. She was wondering what to do when she heard a voice telling her to take the child to Nanda's house. Radha was so sad and miserable that she had to return Krishna to his parents after being reunited with him on earth. She was afraid that she would not be able to see him anymore, but the voice told her, "Take the child back to Nanda and Yashoda. If you listen to me, I assure you that you will be able to go and see your Lord Krishna every evening. You will meet him, and he will play his flute for you. A part of your heart will always remain with him." At that moment, there appeared Brahma, the creator. For 60,000 years, he had been praying to the highest only to have a glimpse of Radha.
In his meditation, he had seen Krishna and Radha together on earth, and he was deeply moved. So he came personally to see Radha, who was the embodiment of the universal force. Radha obeyed the inner message that she had received from the voice and took the child back to Nanda's house. After that, she used to come and visit Krishna every evening. This has been episode 11 of Inspiration Sounds. Next Sunday on our show, you'll hear from the notorious son and gain some free advice from a cow and a pig, and hopefully a few laughs along the way. So take it easy. I'm always Budsamudra, and this was Inspiration Sounds.